What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Jose, aka Salsa Con Fuego, because I'm muy caliente. And that right there is Hose B, aka Hobo Sexy. Tell them why, Papa.
And we the Hispanic Hello? Mechanics, and we're here to tell you suckers that you listening to the Three Count Podcast. Toma!
Do you wanna get live with me? Do you really wanna ride with me? I'm in the club.
Welcome everybody to another great edition of the Three Count Podcast presents Now Entering, and I'm your host, Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you out that mountain called wrestling. And by now, after our 350-something episode, season 5, I would just hope you say with me, I am your Sherpa, because like your tribal chief, acknowledge me. But like every good Sherpa, you got to have someone who's been there, done that, and can do it more efficient than you can. And that's why it's never about me. It's about who's entering ring. So who's entering ring? You can find these gentlemen at Beyond. You can find them at PG, New, Wrestling Open, ICW, PAPW, ECWA, WWR Plus, NRG, PWE. They are suave. They are igualmente. They are part of La Familia. And you know who these guys are. The Hispanic Mechanics themselves, Jose and Hose B. What's up? It's funny because, like, as a Latino myself, like, I don't get a chance to like break out with my Spanish very often on this podcast. So seeing that I got two people that I can sit back and be like, Vale, what's up, everyone? Like, I'm so hyped about this right now.
Let it out. We chilling, people, bro.
Right.
People, that's what you know.
Dude, I'll be real. Like, so I had a homeboy right before he got taken, right? Because I'm from Nebraska. I don't know if I've ever told you guys this or not. We've never had the opportunity, but I'm from Nebraska. So my homeboy, his name was Joseph Badilla, right? And they call him Little Boulevard. So me and B, we used to kick it all the time. And he was like one of the big driving forces for me to want to get into pro wrestling. And so when I get to sit back and, you know, I get to sit back and hang out with my boys and, you know, La Familia. We get to have these fun conversations. And I always bring up B because it's like, if it wasn't for him getting me into backyard wrestling, I don't know if I would ever get into pro wrestling because I wanted to do it because of him.
Nah, that's awesome. That is great. And honestly, like, that's low-key the best part about wrestling is, like, no matter how bad, like, life and everything that happens goes on or, like, you know, we all go through our everyday struggles. Is like wrestling low-key has always been there to like be our therapy and been there for us. And like just the bonds that you've grown and stuff like that. Like I get to travel with one of my best friends, my family, talking about La Familia with my cousin. I hit the road all the time with him. So it's beautiful. Like I love it, bro. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. And that's what, you know, and that's what it's about. You know, it's not about, you know, the moves, and it's not about, you know, kind of the intricacies of everything. Like, yeah, that's the work of it, right? That's like the, you know, I'm sweating today. The fun part is the wrestling. The fun part is when we get together and, you know, even when we're yelling and screaming at each other, it's still that family. You know what I mean? Like, I remember arguing, you know, with my older brother about wrestling and family members about wrestling. But then at the end of the day, you know what we're watching come Monday, you know, we're watching at the pay-per-view, we're watching wrestling. You know what I mean? And it's that escape and that community. And one of my favorite memories growing up is going to Madison Square Garden, right? And like getting into arguments with strangers. Ah, this person's the best. This person's the best. That guy's garbage. But you know what? At the end of the day, you sit down, you watch the show, and you have an awesome time. And that's what wrestling is, has always been, and hopefully will always be.
It's funny, though, man, because I bring it up with, like, a lot of my friends. It's like, there's, like, different, like, I'll be real when I say this. There's, like, different groups of people that I want to watch wrestling with, right? So if I'm, like, watching, like, last year, me and my boy Chaz, who's actually the other half of this podcast, and the rest of the boys of Pure Ignorance, Prince Machiavelli, and No Idol, we all watched WrestleMania Night 1 together. and it was just a complete blast. We had so much fun with it, right? But when I know certain wrestlers are going to be on, like, I'm like, bro, I don't want to watch this pay-per-view with you guys, because although you guys are my friends, like, I'm trying to get my side of stuff going on, right? So I remember we went back and we watched so Chaz and I went back and watched Halloween Havoc. And when Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio in 97 were, like, wrestling, I was like, bruh, this is the greatest wrestling match of all time. And he's like, why do you like this match? I was like, sabes que, because it brings me to my Latin heritage so quick that I have to put this out there. I was like, Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio together, like, in this ring, put on this fire match. And it's not even just, we still talk about it. And I think about, like, how much, like, the Latin culture, like, influences, like, the community, right? And how we have this opportunity to, like, raise that community up higher, right? Because you guys, like, let's keep it real. Like, your guys' characters aren't, like, when people think of, like wrestlers that are in the Latino community, they always talk about, like, you know, you look at Champo, was that it, that dude's name? It was when I ran on the bike. Fuck, I forget. Hector.
Oh, Camacho? And,
Camacho, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. So, like, you have, like, that, you have the low rider types, right? The thug types, right? These gangbanger types. But then people forget, like, Eddie Guerrero was, like, lightning, and he wasn't that dude. Or you think people do think of, like, luchadors, right? Where they think about, like Rey Mysterio or Juventud Guerrera, right? They don't think about, like, Eddie, or they don't have, like, the guys who just, like, typically just have, like, this, hey, this is me kind of personality, right? Like, y'all in the ring. It, and, like, you had brought it up, Hosby, like, you don't have this regular mindset of, like, the wrestling is the fun part, but you can see how much character that you guys, how much flavor you guys bring to wrestling just by the way you guys move in the ring. And I remember I was telling my boys today, when I was talking to him, I was like, yeah, I'm bringing on the Hispanic Mechanics. They're like, what group is this? I was like, bro, you just got to see them in the ring. They're a lot of fun to work, and they're a lot of fun to be around because they're always having, like, a good time. And he's just like, he's like, just you talking about them right now got me excited about them.
Yeah, we say it all the time, right? Like, as human beings, we're not here for a long time. You know what I mean? But we're all here for a good time. And so that's, you know, we try and say that as much as possible. That might be a new t-shirt. But that's kind of like when you know, me and the, when A and B are kind of strategizing, when we're doing whatever in return, in terms of wrestling, that's something that we always kind of not only have it in the back of our mind, but bring up, you know, hey, this is supposed to be fun. You know, if someone's coming to a show and spending, you know, $10, $20, $30, $40, sometimes $50, $60 for those front row seats, you know, for the good seats, they're spending money, you know, and while as professional athletes, we all get along and we all want to work hard, at the end of the day, the main priority for us is that those people who bought tickets had a good time, right? So that you go to your friends and go, listen, I don't know, but the Hispanic Mechanics came out and that was awesome. Like, that was the most fun I've had. That was, like, the most fun I had the whole night, right? That's always our goal. Right? When the match is over, and whether we win or whether we lose, A, we're safe, and B, did the people have a good time? And if the people didn't have a good time, then we did something wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah, definitely. And I think one of the things you spoke about was we're not like your typical, like, Camacho or, like, luchadors and stuff like that. And I think that does come from, like, our influences. You look at, like, an Eddie Guerrero or, like, Los Guerreros, and for someone like me, that was huge for me, because I remember being a kid in my grandmother's house, like, oh, this man reminds me of my dad. Like, I can see similarities between him and my pops. So to me, that was just like a hardworking everyday dude. And I think that's one of the things we try to shy away from was, yes, we are Hispanics. Yes, we are Latino. We're for the culture, but I don't want you to put us in a box. You know, at the end of our day, we're still people, we're still wrestlers. So just like any other wrestlers, we're here to do our job. And just the only difference is we just a little more fun. We having a ball.
We keep it real. We keep it real, right? Like Eddie Guerrero, I lie, I cheat, I steal, but hey, I'm honest about it. You know, and that's us. Like, we'll do whatever it takes to win or whatever, but at the end of the day, let's have a good time, man. This is supposed to be a party, you know? Like, it's supposed to be a fiesta. It's supposed to be you know, La Familia coming together, bro. And like, yes, that's, you see that in the Hispanic culture, but you see that in other cultures too. That's what makes wrestling so, so awesome, is everybody everywhere. You know what I mean? Whether you're blue collar, white collar, pink collar, you know, if you like wrestling, you have something in common with someone you've never met before.
Yeah.
And we bring our culture with us, but we don't exclude others. You know what I mean? Yeah. No, you're invited. You're here at the, you're here at the cookout. You're here at the barbecue. You're here at the party. And guess what? The party's going to go on all night long, man. We got a case of beer in the back. Have a good time.
Yeah. It's you one know? Of those things, man. It's like, it's because like what's for me, right? Because like I didn't, when I got into this, right, originally, like I had just got out to, like I've been out to military for a few years and I was trying to figure out like where I wanted to go with life, right? And then I got into pro wrestling, right? And I found like my way around and it started developing. And I kept thinking of like all the things that I wanted to do to like one, show off like where I've been, right, as far as like with the military goes, but then two, like I wanted people to also know like, hey, like I have a tattoo that legitimately says Panamanian on me, and I want people to know that yes, I am a Panamanian. I'm very proud of being a Panamanian and Hispanic wrestler. And so, but I didn't also want to do like the luchador style, right, because I think that's like, it's, I don't want to say it's played out. It's not. Those guys who do lucha wrestling, ayo, you are amazing at what you do. But I wanted to put my flavor on there too, but then also show off like, ayo, no, this dude's like a thumper. Like he's really coming to, you know, he's a mercenary at the end of the day, but he's just, he has a lot of fun. So I remember like they had me wrestling at Invictus last year, right? They had me working Diego Trabajador, right? And when I was with Diego, I wanted to finally show off that Red Dog knows like a lot of shit, right? So I did a whole promo where he was learning how to speak Spanish in a montage. And so I was like, just to figure out one word in this whole entire promo that he did that like was a letter wrote to me, I just wanted one word to learn. So he like picked up salsa dancing. He learned how to do merengue. Like he learned about like more culture stuff, and he was like reading the dictionary and like he was like interpreting so much stuff just so that he could say stuff. And I was like, no, I want people to realize like, oh no, like although he did this in a promo, he wanted to show like there's an evolution of Red Dog, but you know, El Perro Rojo is a real person. Like he's, that's me. Like I, that's what I do. That's where I'm about. And I wanted people to understand that. So when I get a chance to like flex that side of me, I was like, I want people to realize like, hey, yo, like he is not playing. He is here. He's down with everything.
Yeah, man. That's, and ultimately that's the stuff that, that helps everybody stand out, which is the name of the game. You know what I mean? And, you just mentioned it, like, you know, luchador, you know, that style, that it's an art form, you know, and I think we kind of realized early on, like, if you can't do it to perfect, well, maybe not to perfection, but if you can't do it with kind of, you know, the respect and experience that they're doing it, don't do it. Because yeah, then it's, mm-hmm. to us, it's disrespectful. You know what I mean?
It's a standard.
And it, yeah. And so we do go a different route and we show different sides of our personality, you know, and at the end of the day, it's part of the culture, but it's not the culture.
Right.
Like it's not the be all end all. And I think kind of people who are on the outside looking in have a tough time understanding that, I think, where it's like, oh, you're a Hispanic wrestler, you're a Latino wrestler. You know, I'm sure you're going to do a Hurricane Rana, or I'm sure, you know, springboards and you know, that style and luchador psychology. That's not what we, that's not us, right? And maybe sometimes we'll do something and bust something out to pay homage to it, depending, because like we said, we know the culture, we're from the culture, and you know, luchador is not the whole thing, but it is a part of it. So it's kind of this weird, you know, to your point, a balancing act where you want to show that side of you, but you also got to let people know that's not the only side I have, you know. So it is a weird balancing act.
Got the side that likes sipping and dancing. Let's go.
It's funny because like something like stereotypical that I've done, right, is so my trainer is out of Maryland, right? His name was Sicken, but his trainer is Ruckus. And Ruckus showed me this quick little like lucha drag, right? So I ended up taking it and learning, like obviously mixing with a ripcord. So when I spin a person out, like I put my hand up to him, like, oh, salsa, and I rope him back in, and then I can hit him from lucha drag from the spot. And I thought, like, I was like, you know, this is actually kind of a cool way to be like, to show this kind of side off of me, just to let people know, like, oh yeah, there's a lot here that we don't know that he just like figures out. But I was like, yeah, this is something that I want to pay to my homage that I can mix with it. So it's been kind of fun to be able to like build like my character's world up and just continue to grow it and mold it. But then, like, you know, like we've been talking about, right, mix the influence. And a question I really want to bring to you guys, so like being a part about the Latino community and really like knowing, like, there's always like you had mentioned, right, there's these expectations, oh, you're a Hispanic wrestler, you're probably doing like luchador type stuff. Like, what are you doing? Like, where do you want to see the Hispanic mechanics raising the bar, like at the end of when everything is said and done? Where do you want to see like you guys is kind of brought up?
That's a big question. So like, wow. So like legacy, you're talking about, like, what do you want to do down the line, kind of? Jose B, you want to start this off?
I think for us, we've always kind of looked at tag team wrestling first, right? Because while we don't like to be put in boxes and categories, at the end of the day, you know, it's entertainment and it's pro wrestling, and it's in and of itself is not in a box, right? Pro wrestling is not just one thing. So when we're looking at things, we try not to be one thing, but you have to start somewhere. So for us, it was always, you know, we're tag team specialists, right? If you notice, you never see, you know, Jose at a show without Jose B. You never see Jose B at a show without Jose, right? When we're there together because we are a tag team, right? And that's our specialty, and tag team specialists. So I think kind of at the end of the day, you know, if you talk about legacy, you know, I would love in the future if people kind of bring our names up as, you know, they were entertaining. And when I saw them, I got my money's worth. And if I can check that box, so to speak, then to me, like, you know, driving 5, 6, 7 hours before a show, driving 5, 6, 7 hours after a show, the bumps, the bruises, not to be cliche, but the blood, sweat, and tears is worth it, right? That if you saw these guys perform and if you saw these guys wrestle, you're going to get your money's worth. You know, it doesn't matter if it's Beyond, it doesn't matter if it's a local, smaller independent. When you saw us go, I was entertained. And to me, that's our goal. You know, I don't like speaking for him. He doesn't like speaking for me, but I think I'm confident, right? Like, fans go, people go, the workers go, everybody goes, that was entertaining. That was awesome. That was fun. Mm-hmm.
And I think from the worker standpoint, we also want to leave, like, there's a lot, especially in this Northeast area, I want, like, we've been in the business for a little bit now, and we've seen a lot of these tag teams, like, coming up, and not for nothing, like, we want to leave a legacy where people can look back at it and be like, oh, these guys laid a foundation, or these guys helped push along the tag team division we have now. Because me and Jose B have been teaming for almost 10 years, and a lot of the tag teams that are coming up now in the Northeast area, we remember from like a year in, 2 years in. And I think one of the things we want is to leave whatever knowledge we have, whether it is being on TV, not being on TV, being across the globe or in the country. I think it's a legacy we want to leave of, like, we have our hands full, or we left a part of the business better off than it was beforehand. So we helped influence it.
Yeah, and it's tricky at, because we're all, you know, we're all, it's a smaller level, right? Independent wrestling is local, you know, even with the internet and everything else, right? It's still a local community, where you can go to like 5 or 6, 7 independent shows, but they're all within either the same state or maybe 2 states, and you tend to see the same people. But when you travel, you know, 100 miles in the opposite direction, all of a sudden, oh, there's a lot of new faces here. But it is very much at the worker level, like having a little bit of influence and just experience with the Hispanic mechanics and people coming out of it and going, oh, I learned something, you know, like I never looked at this that way. And whether it's right, whether it's wrong, you know, looking at wrestling differently, I think is better for wrestling. Because if we all look at it in the same way and perform in the same way, you know, to me, that's a product I don't want to watch.
Yeah, especially if it's like, it's funny because like I know a lot of people have talked about like wrestling by numbers, right? As per se, like, you know, it's something about like everybody having like their own kind of like flavor to what wrestling is. And you know, everybody talks about like the Baskin Robbins thing, you know, 31 flavors, not everyone's going to hit right. But it's like, you're going to find like, as long as you can kind of like, because wrestling really is just a variety show. Like it's just different people, different flavors, everything. Ultimately, we all know that the game is to win the match. But I think what's important though is that like everybody has to bring like their own character, like their own charisma to it, because you know that's what gets people riled up. Like you said, like if it's the same person that comes in, it's like every single person in here is the John Cena wannabe. It's like, well, then why am I here? I want to see somebody who can mix it up and like give me something different that I want to see. And I feel like that was something that I didn't see a lot when I was like coming around, like just checking out the indie scene and even looking. I didn't find like that mercenary who had like a comedy side to him. Like everybody was like very stoic. Not that there's anything wrong with that, right? But I mean, like for every person that would be like, I ran into a friend, right? Mr. Grimm, he's a good friend of mine. He's a mercenary, right? Brian Keith, he's a mercenary. They're all very, very stoic, very like, I'm here, this is me, this is what I'm gonna do. My friends, they're violence by action, right? Roman Rosell and Derek Pizzatero, they're former military as well, very stoic about everything. And I was like, bro, like we have so much more to offer than just this is me, check me out, I'm here to beat your ass, blah blah blah, systematically. And I was like, bro, I'm just gonna come out here with all this like dark ass humor that I can give and like put into this world and see what sticks. Like I did a whole promo where I was talking about how does one get canceled, and I was like, do you push a button? Is there a lot of people who push buttons? Does one push was one person push the button a lot of times? Like, and the reason why was because I took it from, so my friend Prince and I, we didn't come up with a promo. Like we were watching another team and this group called the Grimy Scots, who we love them to death. The promo that they cut, they're referring to us as a hot cup of coffee, right? And so I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I talked about how I made Prince's pants, right? Like I made his tights and I mixed white with it because cream always rises to the top. Like cream and coffee go together. That was the idea. Like, is that racist? I was like, how does somebody get canceled? Does one person push a button? Does a lot of people push a button? Does one person push the button a lot of times? Like, how does that work? I was like, I want to push the boundaries and like this dark humor with comedy wrestling. And then, so that's where like it had all spun out. But I was like, you just don't find that anywhere. And that's just like you guys bring this flavor that makes wrestling fun, right? It doesn't have to be serious all the time.
Yeah. And I think people, I think the mindset is people equate fun with not working hard.
Right.
Right. And it, to me, it's so much more harder to get a room full of people who have never heard of you to laugh and to enjoy, right? To be entertained, to have a good time, right? To feel good, right? Oh man, like I'm enjoying this. Like that's so much more harder, in my opinion, to do than, okay, like I'm an athlete and I'm going to present myself as this serious, no-nonsense type of character. Because people get that right away. And, you know, everybody who does it, you know, God bless them, props to them. I wish them nothing but success. I'm only speaking out of my opinion. If I paid to buy a ticket, if I see that once, great. If I see that multiple times on a show, I'm going to be on this, you know, and I'm not paying attention. And in pro wrestling now, I think people, as wrestlers, I think we tend to forget, you know, for our generation, we have it so much harder. Because if you go back 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, people coming to buy a ticket, if, I'm trying not to be controversial, but if you weren't you know, entertaining people, they had no choice but to sit there.
Yeah.
Right? Where, you know, for our generation, I would say the last, you know, 10, 15 years maybe, right? If I'm not being entertained by you, I'm pulling this guy out and I'm going to go on whatever social media, I'm going to go text my friend, I'm going to, if it's really bad, I'll leave and go make a phone call.
Yeah. People check out quick, more than
people
ever.
Check out quick, and you have to get them.
I've checked out, made conversation with people before, and gotten on my phone, so I get it completely. It's one of the worst things.
I
but
feel
yeah,
like
you gotta grab that attention.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a total slap in the face. It's like when you're in the middle of a conversation, you're just looking, and you're just like, "Hey, yo, man, like, you know, anything else is better than this right now. Like, I don't want to talk."
I don't mean to. It's gotten to a point where I literally tell people, I swear I'm listening. I'm paying attention to everything you're saying. I'm just, that's just how my brain works sometimes.
A is ADHD. We'll be mid-conversation. We'll be talking about a match. Ah, man, I don't know. Maybe instead of this, we should have did this. You know, that would have led to this. And I'm looking at him, and I'm just like, you're not paying attention to one word I'm saying. He'll just respond, nope.
Oh yeah, I've done that
too. Nope, my bad.
I've definitely had those conversations where like, I'll like say something, and I know like, because you know I run with another three other dudes, right? Pure ignorance. They're a lot of fun to be with over in Maryland, and I'm like, you're not even listening to what I'm saying, are you? And sure enough, they'll be like, "Ayo, what'd you say?" I'm like, "Bruh, you know what? I was talking about this great sandwich that I was eating." You know, it was just filled to the brim, like great three stack club meat tree. Really? No, dumbass. We're talking about the goddamn match.
That's just, it's Russell,
I'm just it. Like, yo, fuck you guys. I'm out of this conversation. But it is funny because when you do see that in people in the crowd, like I notice that every once in a while. It was something that it was something that was brought up at the Wrestling Open, and I it was in a meeting, and I thought it was very interesting too. And I didn't think about it at first, but like you have like the diehards that sit at the front of the rings, and then you have like the people that kind of fade out to the back, right? And so the point got brought up, like, hey, don't worry about these guys in the ring because these guys are always going to be here. These are the diehards, right? Like, start traveling towards the back. And I was like, oh shit, like I didn't even think about that. So then like, I see the crowd like getting hyped with everybody because like that's what they were doing. They were like start moving towards the back, and then people who were moving the back would start coming closer to the front and like mm-hmm. start really getting tense because they're buying in, and that's what mm-hmm. that's ultimately what you want. You want people to buy in, but yeah. You can't buy in if you're just like, oh, I'm just gonna talk to the same seven or eight people that are here right around a ring. Even though, let's be real, at the Wrestling Open, I don't think I've seen a crowd under 100 people yet, right?
Oh, that crowd is not same. That crowd is amazing. Insane.
Yeah,
like that. It, you know, not naming names or anything, but we've been backstage, and people will come. You know, sometimes some wrestlers might come through the curtain and just be like, "Ah, what's up with that crowd?" And I'll give Jose a little look, like, because like if that crowd is dying to be entertained,
yeah,
that crowd wants to be mm-hmm. entertained, and so you know, very rarely do you get to do that with a crowd that is that hungry for entertainment. Right. And to your point, you know, the guys that kind of don't get brought back don't figure that out. Right. That, you know, these people here, they're going to come next week, and they're going to come the week after that, and they're going to come the week after that. And God bless them. And they're the diehard, and you can't have wrestling without them.
Right.
And at the same time, the people in the back row who's there because their friend wanted to come and got him tickets, and so it's kind of like a weird night out, and there's a bar here, so cool. Those are the people that I'm performing for. Those are the people that I'm, you know, working hard to entertain, because I know if I can get them, I get everybody else. And whenever we're wrestling, that's who I'm looking at. And the great thing about tag team work is like if he's in the ring, you know, and like, yeah, come on, man, we're in control, cool. I'm looking at the crowd, and I'm going, who's not paying attention? And I'm going to get their attention. And the minute you can get their attention, all of a sudden, they're invested, like you said. And if you can invest that person who is, I don't really like wrestling, I'm just here to see a friend, I'm here, you know, because, you know, my boyfriend wanted to come or my girlfriend wanted to come. If you can get them hooked, sky's the limit.
That's it. Next. Yeah.
And with that being said, the crowd of wrestling open, y'all are saying that we love you. Just the love that y'all give us is something phenomenal. Just
shout out to that crowd, man. Shout out to you crowd. And all the regulars there. Oh, man. Chills, baby, chills.
Yeah, I love being, like, around, like, I it's funny because, like, for me, like, the DMV is, like, a home area for me, especially, like, in parts of Pennsylvania. When I went back, I went down to Philly for the show called the Wrestling Independent, right, which it was, like, their first show. Crowd never seen me before. And the funny thing was is the guy that went out before me, his name is Trucker Josh, like, he has this, like, semi-truck gimmick, like, semi-truck driver. He's like, burr, burr, like, all the time. And the crowd, like, was vibing with him because, like, that's something they can get involved with, right? So, like, when I came out, like, the crowd really wasn't, like, feeling me at first. And I was like, all right, well, now I gotta put on the old charm and try to make this happen. And by the end of the night, like, by the end of the show, right, at the end of that match, the crowd was, like, on my side. And I had came back out later in the night to, like, make a save. And when I came out to make the save, there was like a bunch of people that were like, yeah, Red Dog, we fucking love you, bro. And I was like, y'all are drunk, and I love you too for it.
One of y'all want to buy me a drink after the show, that's even better. Like, yeah.
Shots of tequila for everybody.
That's guy in the third row said he's buying.
He said he got a black credit card. I've never seen one, but I'll look for it now.
Hey, oh no!
Yo, let me ask this question and see if I get an answer from both of you guys. Right. So, what's one of the hardest lessons you've had to learn being in the business?
We've been wrestling a long time. Man, I think for me. And I kind of just realized this maybe within the last year or two. Yeah, maybe in the last couple of years. When we were brought up and when we were trained, there was a phrase that, you know, people that we trained with would use, our trainers would use it. Other people who had been in the business for a long time back then would use it. And they would say, if you can pop the boys in the back, you can pop a crowd. And for a long time, that was our mentality of we have to pop the boys in the back. And then I would say maybe 2 or 3 years ago, we got away from that. And it was a struggle to get away from that. But then once you kind of have that, in teaching, they call it an aha moment, like, oh, duh, yeah. And you finally figured it out. Like this moment of, wait a minute, I shouldn't be wrestling for the wrestlers backstage. I should be wrestling for the people who paid money for the show, right? Because to me, that was a hard lesson to figure out because we had been trained to kind of do I don't want to say the opposite, but to do something different.
Right.
So figuring that out, and that's a lesson that you can only learn with repetition in matches and performing in front of crowds. So that's my answer.
That's a good answer.
I don't know. They're going to be like, nah, you're wrong.
Nah, you wrong. You ain't never been right. Get out of here. You fight.
Dishonor on you. Dishonor on your village.
One thing I would say, just selfishly, is I feel like I had to learn how to put my foot down personally. Because, you know, you're very young and early in the business and like not to expose it, but like you think going in is like this person has to get this many moves in or you have to get this many moves in. And like there was definitely a time where like we would sacrifice either things we were doing in the match for others or just like taking things that we had no or trying things we know that like we had no business doing. And it's because of like relationships and stuff like that. You know, you have a rapport with somebody in the back. Maybe you're talking and you're good friends with them. So you think you want to take a move that you know better than taking, you end up doing. I think that was something that I struggled with really early on. And just like, I would get hurt or just little bumps and bruises and stuff like that, that really wasn't necessary because at the end of the day, like I wanted to be, I guess, friends with the person, or I wanted to take the person's stuff good, where it's like, Hoes B kind of decided we were doing this for the business, so there's a time and place for certain things.
Yeah. Yeah, we very much, that's a better answer than mine, because for a long time, we prided ourselves on we can make anything work. We can make anything work. We can make anything make sense. And that was a hard lesson to learn, is like, sometimes the best way to make something work is not to do it, you know, is avoid it, skip it, do something else. And that's the best thing to do in those moments. And we like, yeah, no, that's a very good answer, because I, you know, we struggled with that for a long time.
I mean, like, honestly, I just started getting over that.
Like, so it was funny, because like I had that aha moment like in a trio in a triple threat match, right? And this dude who was like, he was like 6'3", he was like, he had been like 290, right? It was a big boy, right? And he was like, hey man, I'm gonna reverse her Karana, and I'm gonna do he told this to another wrestler, I'm gonna reverse your Rana, and then I'm gonna post, and I'm gonna do like a front handspring, and then later in the match I'm gonna do a moonsault. And I looked at them and I was like, hey, I'm gonna be 100% with you, you're not hitting a single fucking moonsault in this goddamn match. And he's like, what? And I was like, I said exactly what I said, and I'm gonna explain why. I was like, you are 6'3", 290 pounds. Why do you need to do a moonsault? You're the biggest guy in this match. Whereas myself, I'm at the time, I was like, I'm 5'10", 205. And the guy we're wrestling, the other dude that's in the match, is like 5'7", maybe 140 pounds. Why do you need to do a moonsault in this match? You literally get to just run people over and have fun doing it, because you're a fucking kaiju and you're not a luchador. And he was like, all right, man, I guess I don't have to do it. But he still did the handstand. I was like, whatever, I'm gonna let you do that, because we'll just give and take at this point. But you're not doing the moonsault. Sure enough, 4 weeks later, my buddy wrestled him and let him hit this moonsault. And I was like, you dumbass. And he was like, what? I was like, why did you let him hit that moonsault? He's like, well, you know, it's like he didn't really like have a lot that he was going to do in the match, so I just gave him the moonsault to deal. I was like, it wasn't even a moonsault. My man just like did like a little log roll over his shoulder. On me, man. I'm not saying, and the guy is a very nice dude. He's a very nice worker. He's a very good worker. But I was like, you have to like understand, like, hey, just because you think you can do all these things, you got to think in the context of the match. Like, mm-hmm. It does not make sense for you to do something that you don't need to do. Like, if I'm over 250 pounds and I'm 6'3", bro, I'm trucking people. Like, everything is power moves, no flips.
Yeah, and it's a psychology. You know what I mean? It's how people make sense of the business. You know what I mean? And not that, you know, bigger dudes can't do athletic stuff, but, you know, you kind of have to be creative with it. You can't, you know, they have the advantage of being bigger dudes, right? But they also have the disadvantage of, because they're bigger dudes, if they want to do stuff smaller dudes do, it has to be creative.
Yep.
And it has to make mm-hmm. sense. And if it doesn't, then why? Why waste the bump? Why, you know, hurt your body, right? Because a guy who's 6'3", 200, you know, almost 300 pounds going off the top rope, is his body suffers more than the guy who's, you know, 5'7" and 150.
Yep.
Right? I mean, I'm speaking as someone, I can do a moonsault. I've done moonsaults. Sometimes they're perfect. Sometimes they're crooked. Right?
Sometimes they log rolls.
No, they're crooked. They're crooked. They're a little better. Like, it's log roll, crooked moonsault. You know what I mean?
All right. My bad, player. My bad.
Come on, brother. Come on. But, you know, just because you can doesn't mean you should, you know, in this moment. And
oh, I think you froze.
I think the number one rule that a lot of wrestlers forget is keep your opponent safe and keep yourself safe and get to the next show.
Yep.
Like, unless it's the main event of WrestleMania, get yourself to the next show.
I like that. Hey, so we're going to hop into my favorite segment of the 3 Count Podcast, right? Which is the 3 Count Podcast, 10 Count Questions. Here's how it works. All right. I hope to get two different answers from you guys, but we'll see what happens. I'm going to fire off 10 questions at y'all. Okay. And whatever your answer is your answer.
Sounds good.
And then maybe we'll see some discrepancies and someone will be like, oh, I didn't know that. All right. So here we go. We're going to put on the Imagine Timer for added pressure. Bing. And in the words of my favorite commentator, Mike Goldberg, here we go. SmackDown or Raw?
SmackDown. Raw.
There we go. Favorite movie?
The Dark Knight.
Like Mike. The first movie I thought of.
Apple or Android?
Apple.
Apple, but I got bullied into Apple, for being honest.
Favorite cartoon?
The Simpsons.
Cowardly Dog.
Courage the Cowardly Dog. Yeah, both of those are great choices. Courage the Cowardly Dog and The Simpsons. I love that. PlayStation or Xbox?
PlayStation.
Just got that PS5.
Hey, yo. Favorite actor?
Ryan Reynolds.
Robin Williams.
It's a great choice. I met Robin Williams when I was in Iraq.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. We'll talk about it after show. We won't talk about it now. You guys don't get that. Superman or Batman?
Premium service.
OnlyFans.
Oh, we gonna agree on this. Batman.
What was the question?
Superman or Batman?
Batman.
Favorite podcast?
The Three Count Podcast. Come on, man.
Yeah. I mean, what do you even gotta think about?
It's number 1, 2, and 3.
That's it.
Hey, I love it. Nominate one wrestler that you want to see on this podcast.
Can it be a tag team?
Sure.
Brick City.
You beat me to it. Security Inc.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. And then last but not least, my favorite question asked every single person who comes on this show, favorite curse word.
I have two.
Okay.
I have two. And this is very appropriate for what we were talking about in the beginning with the culture and everything. One is coño. And the other one is motherfucker. So one's the culture, one's not the culture. So it kind of speaks to like what we're about, right? Like inclusion and everything. So coño, motherfucker.
A full transparency, man. My daughter. You know, because like I've been like trying to introduce her, and she's been like learning Spanish on her own too, which I'm very, very fortunate that she's wanted to take that initiative. But yeah, every once in a while, I just look like, esta niña de carajo, man, fuck off, bro. Coño, I'm about to just beat your ass, like, yo. All right, but, so full. This last thing I have for you guys, though, because those are all.
Wait, my what was his? What was Jose's?
Fuck.
What do you mean?
Oh my
god. Fuck.
Yeah. My favorite part is when like promoters would be like, guys, no cursing on the show. And I look at him and go, he didn't say nothing about cursing in Spanish.
Shout out absolutely to the Spanish not language, holding it down.
Yeah, that's why everybody, some people in the crowd will understand. Others will be like, oh, that's weird. Why would he say that?
And the
that
people that understand will not get offended.
Yep. Yo, usually they laugh. You know that word.
Bet. Well, those are all my questions and stuff for you guys, man. But the last thing I need for y'all is to let our listeners and our viewers know where they can find you.
Easy. You can find us on X, on Instagram, MechanicsAB. You can find us on Facebook, Hispanic Mechanics. And if you want to book us, you can hit us up on Gmail, bookhispanicmechanics@gmail.com. Come on down.
And we also have a pro wrestling tee store, right? Hispanic Mechanics. If you just put Hispanic Mechanics in the search bar, it'll pop right up. That's kind of the best way to get our merchandise. And, you know, I think now December 23rd will be at the historic Hamburg Fieldhouse. It's the last show, right? If you're a historian of the wrestling business, that's kind of like, you know, old school WWF tapings used to be out of there. So it's you know, for us, it's a big deal to be a part of the last wrestling show in that building. If you're in the area, come check it out. And if you're not in the area, hit us up on social media. Say what's up.
Bet. Well, there you go. They told you where they can find you can find them. They told you about the merch store. They told you where you can find them on social media. So you guys know what to do. Do all the things. So what does that mean for us? It means like every great part of a wrestling match, we got to take this home. Because this is the 3Count Podcast Presents Now Entering. And now I'm your host, Clifford Red Dog Miller. The man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. But like every good Sherpa, it's never about me. It's about who's entering. So who's entering? You see, Jose, Jose B, the Hispanic mechanics. You guys know what to do. Tune into the next episode and be there. Or you're legit just like follow us on all of our social media platforms. Just subscribe to our YouTube channel. You're following us on Spotify. You're even listening to us on Amazon Music because we're there too. And we're even on that thing called iHeartRadio or whatever that little jingle thing is that goes on. So you either buying our merch as well, so do that thing. And if you're not, you're telling your mom about us, you're telling your dad about us, you're telling your brothers, your sisters, your friends, your cousins, your dog, your enemies, because guess what? We love haters too. Telling all that stuff, or really you're just kind of like waiting for this episode to end. You're waiting for the outro, and then you're choosing another episode to listen to. Kawaii.
What's going on? It is Clipper Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And what we need from you guys is to kind of show some support, right? We want you guys to go to our YouTube channel at the 3Count Podcast, go on to our Twitch channel, 3Count Pod, or even our Facebook page, 3Count Podcast, and just give us a like, follow, subscribe, even give us a comment, right? Do all that cool stuff. Share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with your enemies, right? Or you can even come talk to us and just chat us up, right? Find us on Twitter at 3Count_Pod. Find us on IG and on TikTok at 3Count Pod. Go ahead and leave us those comments. We want to hear from all of you guys. We're going to keep putting on videos and stuff like that. We want to keep making this content better, so we want your guys' support. Also, if you guys want to, go support us at prowrestlingtees.com/the3countpodcast or even find us on foryourwear.com. Give us a support. Show us your guys' love because we want to give it right back to y'all. So, in the meantime, between time, love y'all.